Hi, welcome to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ken.
And this is Doug with the episode credits. Season 3, Episode 8, The 40th Floor. Guest cast, Kate Mulgrew as Jane Latimer, and Ashley Williams returns as Sally Stukowski. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson. Written by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes. Executive Story Editor, Derek A. Hughes. Directed by Chris Fisher. Original air date was August 29th, 2011. Now here's Doug Gramley with the episode Quick Cap.
Five Regents have been killed over the last year. Artie and Claudia have been quietly researching these murders, and their research brought them directly to our favorite FBI agent, Sally Stukowski. The warehouse agents track her to a local bar and use Henry Morgan Stanley's map to track her movements over the last 24 hours. Artie, Pete, Micah, and Claudia head to the building that the map showed them while Steve stays behind and interrogates Sally. After they overtake the guards, Claudia hacks the building's surveillance footage, which shows that Sally had a partner. Artie realizes that the guards are not who they thought they were, and sends Pete and Claudia after the partner, while he and Micah head to the 40th floor. It is there that they find Adwin, two other regents, Jane and Philip, and their bodyguard. Artie and Micah now must try to get the regents out of the building safely. On their way out, they notice that the building is corroding. An artifact, the Berlin Wall spray paint, has been activated and the building will soon come down with them in it. Mrs. Frederick joins Steve at the interrogation of Sally. To his surprise, she resorts to torture. Steve, who is not on board with this, as it goes against what he believes and against what he has come to know that the warehouse stands for, pulls a gun on Mrs. Frederick. This gives Sally an opportunity to escape. Meanwhile, Claudia and Pete find Sally's partner and retrieve the spray can. They need the can to stop the building from coming down. Back at the building, Philip is killed, but not before transferring guardianship and the Ramati shackle to Jane. Guardianship of what? We don't really know. Artie and Adwin are able to escape the building using Lloyd Wright's pickup sticks, leaving Micah and Jane trapped when the pickup sticks dissolve before they can make it out. Claudia and Pete arrive at the building and use the spray to paint a peace sign over the anarchy symbol painted there by Sally's partner. This reverses the effect of the artifact, and Jane and Micah are able to escape. In the end, we see Sally being killed because the building was saved. Steve tells Claudia that he has been fired. Micah brings Pete over to introduce him to Jane the Regent. When she turns around to face Micah, Pete is shocked to see that Jane the Regent is his mother.
You know, you're really not allowed to face death without me.
Next time, I promise.
When I heard you had to babysit one of the Regents, that must have been a pain.
Actually, she's kind of kick-ass. Come on, I want to introduce you.
Yeah?
Yeah. Jane? I want you to meet my partner. This is Agent Pete Latimer.
Mom.
Hi, we're back with Season 3, Episode 8, The 40th Floor. There's a lot of artifacts in this episode, but the most prominent one was the Berlin Wall spray paint. The paint and the can are infused with the original owner's dream to see the wall torn down. As a result, anything the paint touches begins to disintegrate into ash. Larger objects seem to take longer to disintegrate, but painting the anarchy symbol appears to speed up the process. The paint crawls like splintering red cracks to destroy the object and anything in direct contact with the paint.
Once it begins, the process cannot be stopped by bagging the can. The can has to be used to reverse the effects. When the peace symbol is painted, the paint comes out blue, and if painted over the original paint, turns the red cracks blue and stops the spreading.
Okay, and those are from Wiki Warehouse.
Since the days of Warehouse 2, the Regents have been its protectors. Its first field agents, they were responsible for instituting the artifact collection procedures that we carry on to this day. Over time, as more and more artifacts were amassed, the Regents became not only its governors, but also the keepers of its secrets.
So in this episode, we add another Star Trek regular actor to our list, Kate Mulgrew, who was Captain Janeway in Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's just from Star Trek. That's my girl. I like her.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you knew her from Star Trek because I know you don't watch Star Trek.
Yeah, I don't know her from Star Trek.
And as Mary Ryan.
Yes.
When I saw her come to Voyager, that's the only place I ever saw her before, is Ryan's Hope.
Orange is the New Black.
Right, but that was after. That was after Star Trek.
Yeah, I think other stuff she's done, but I like her.
Yeah, so do I. So we add her to our list. I liked the story of the Regents that Artie told us at the beginning.
Yes.
For 2,000 years, their grace, their wisdom, and their sacrifice has ensured the warehouse's survival and security. Only now, they're the ones that need protecting.
And it kind of gives us some history about where they came from. He did say some of them started out as agents, so I wonder if Pete's mother started out as an agent.
Oh, I love that part.
That kind of makes some sense, because you remember when Pete talked about when his father died, mm-hmm. and he was alone because his sister was going to college, and his mother tried to keep busy with other things.
Yeah.
She does say to Micah at one point when they're trying to get out of the building that, you know, Micah says she doesn't believe in destiny. And she said, when we were the least able to take on a new challenge, that's when the warehouse called us. And we both accepted.
You're meant to be here, Micah. We all are.
Well, I'm not sure I believe in destiny.
At a time when we may have felt the least prepared to accept the challenge, the warehouse called upon each of us. You, Artie, me. And we answered that call. If that isn't destiny, what is?
So I'm assuming when she was least able to take on a new challenge was when her husband died.
Yeah.
Unless she was a warehouse agent before that, but that's kind of what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, I was getting the same thing. And I think, too, that it was like reconfirming, Micah, this is where you need to be.
Exactly. So can I just talk about Mrs. Fredericks first?
Sure.
So what? I'm supposed to be scared?
Fear is a powerful motivator, Miss Stokowski. But we both know what really motivates people is pain. All those people you tortured and killed were more than just Regents. They were my friends.
Those friends are the ones that started this, lady.
Started what? What did you do?
You'll see soon enough.
All right, so number one, Artie says to Sally, unlike you, we don't torture people. And then Mrs. Fredericks comes in. I always say Fredericks, and her name is Frederick. Mrs. Frederick comes in when Steve is interrogating Sally and starts to torture her. So with all the artifacts that they have at their disposal, are they trying to tell me that there wasn't some kind of truth-telling artifact that they could have used on her?
Probably, but, you know, it was just like at times we have to do what is necessary. And even though Jinx was saying we don't torture, she kept on saying for this particular person she had to do that.
See, I think something else is going on.
Right.
Because, I'm sorry, they didn't have to torture her because there had to be another artifact they could have used to get the truth out of her.
Right.
You know, and I understand how people would resort to torture in that situation, except that the warehouse has other artifacts. So they didn't have to in this situation.
But I think she, yeah, right. But I think at one point, I think Mrs. Frederick was feeling a certain kind of way for what she did to them.
Oh, sure.
And part of me was thinking she was giving her a taste of her own medicine.
And I could see that. And I could see that under normal circumstances. But I can't see it in the warehouse. I don't know.
Oh, no. Y'all are going to beat it out of me with some paper?
Unlike you, we don't torture people to get information.
This is not the doorknob, but when it's finished with you, you're going to wish it was.
That's from Unit 731.
You're very well informed.
What's Unit 731?
Special Japanese military unit during World War II that performed human experimentation and biological warfare research.
It's the medal from Shiroishi's coat.
The commander of Unit 731. This can achieve in a few seconds what would take even the most experienced interrogator days.
You're bluffing. Artie said you don't torture.
I'm not Artie.
This is Frederick. Ord?
What is it, Agent Jinks?
We don't torture people.
Need I remind you of the lives Ms. Stokowski has already taken?
And she will pay for her crimes, but in a court of law, not like this.
This is not a democracy, Agent Jinks.
Mrs. Frederick, no form of torture has ever yielded credible intel. It's been statistically proven.
Agent Jinx, I have people who are about to die, and that woman has the information I need to free them. Now, if this is the way I have to extract it, so be it.
But I thought there was something going on because at first I thought it was kind of a test for Steve. And I wasn't sure if she was testing his loyalties to the warehouse or if she was testing his morality. That was my first thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought it was some kind of setup because at the end, Steve tells Claudia that he was fired. But we never actually see Mrs. Frederick say that.
Right.
So I think there was a conversation that we missed. And like I said, we don't hear the consequence conversations. She says, now you're going to suffer the consequences. But we never hear the conversations, which kind of leads me to believe that we're supposed to think that she fired him.
Right.
But there's something else going on. Like, it was just too weird for me. The whole torture thing was just too weird for me. And the fact that she never said he was fired, that we heard, I feel like they want us to believe that he was fired, but he isn't, and maybe he's going to be undercover or something.
Oh, okay.
I could be, like, going off the deep end, you know? Because sometimes my theories just go way out off the deep end, but that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I was thinking he actually quit. He can't handle it because of what he did. He was feeling, there's a word I want to say, but, you know, feeling bad about pulling the gun on Mrs. Frederick.
Yeah, and that could be, like I said, I could just be making up a whole theory in my head.
Theories make sense, too. There's a lot of angles because, one, this is the warehouse.
Right.
So there's a lot of angles that are, you know, and it's all, things are hidden.
Or maybe she wants him to think he's fired. So I don't know. I just think there's something. There's something. Because this part of it was too weird for me. They have every artifact in the world. They didn't have to torture her. And I know what you're saying about wanting to get revenge, but it's still the warehouse. You know, and even Steve says it's statistically proven that torture never gives you the information you want or rarely gives you the information you want.
Right.
You know, and then my next question is, if he is fired, what happens when a person gets fired from the warehouse? Do they like erase his mind? They can't have somebody walking around knowing about the warehouse. Do they bronze them? Like in Eureka, but Eureka was science. Eureka was secret science projects. They got redacted and they had to sign like boxes and boxes of paperwork saying that if they gave away any of the secrets, it would be treason, blah, blah, blah. But in the warehouse, this is more of a supernatural kind of thing. So what do they do when they fire an agent?
I don't know. To me, it would be on the same principle as, remember, now I'm trying to remember the lady's name, the one whose husband was hidden behind the wall in the police station, the fiancé, the boyfriend.
Jack and Rebecca.
Okay, like Rebecca. Rebecca wasn't fired.
Right.
She left, but she still lived her life, as basically all of them still do. So maybe you're right. He might be undercover. Or he might be saying it and the other guy recruits him because he got fired and he knows stuff.
Oh, you know what?
Hey.
You know what? Now that you say that, at the end, before Marcus killed Sally Stokowski, mm-hmm. she did say, Steve is not all in yet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I can work on him.
Yep.
Sally. What was unclear about destroy that building and everyone in it?
I'm sorry. They have more resources than we thought. And Mrs. Frederick has no trouble crossing the line.
Never underestimate the denizens of Warehouse 13, Sally. You know, they are dangerous people.
There is a silver lining, though. You were right about Agent Jenks. He hasn't drunk the Kool-Aid yet, and I've already started working on him.
That won't be necessary.
Oh!
So, yeah, that makes sense, too.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, she can't.
Right, she can't, but somebody can anyway.
I love it when Miss Ritter said, you're from Connecticut.
I wrote that down, too.
Well, Irene Frederick herself. I am honored.
Drop it, Sally. You're from Connecticut.
What was the point of this accent?
Yeah.
Because that was like the most annoying accent.
Oh, but it was too funny. But like she said, even Jeez couldn't tell me she's lying.
Right, because she wasn't lying. She was just using a different voice. Everything she said was true.
Oh, okay.
He can only tell if you're lying if you say something that's a lie. Although he seemed a little surprised too.
Yeah.
That's right, boy wonder. Even the human lie detector can't hear a phony accent.
But that was funny.
Connecticut.
All hail Connecticut, our home state.
That was too funny.
It was. I have a lot of notes for this one. There was a lot going on. The way Pete stares at Marcus when they get Sally in the alley.
Yes.
And Pete sees Marcus in the car.
Mm-hmm.
The way he looked at him was weird. It almost looked like he recognized him.
Right. When I saw that, it seemed like almost like he was being taken over. Because I actually thought he was just going to keep on walking, like in a trance. Like somewhere along the line, that eye stare, he was hypnotized for a minute.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Okay, yeah. That was just kind of weird to me. Yeah, and you could be right. I didn't think of that. But the whole thing of him staring at him in the car kind of felt weird.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Then nothing played out, because I'm thinking that Pete was going to do something because he was under a trance or something, but he never did.
Right. And he never mentions it to Micah either.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a kind of a ridiculous Pete moment.
Mm-hmm.
So when Claudia and Pete get to the bank to capture Cuno, I think his name is, the partner.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So they get to the bank. Pete hears the Farnsworth go off. And usually the Farnsworth goes off, they wait to see what Artie has to say. He hears the Farnsworth go off. Well, he says, I'm going in. He goes in before he hears what Artie has to say. He goes in before he hears the guy has an artifact. So he walks in blind, whereas Claudia finds out the guy has an artifact.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was all about. They never do that. When the Farnsworth goes off, they all stand there and listen to whatever Artie has to say.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying to remember because I wrote down Pete was talking too much. So there was a point where he just was going on. I don't know if it's the time with Micah or the time, because that part of the radio just wrote, Pete was talking too much.
Yeah.
Or it was with Claudia. It could have been before they got to the bank, I want to say. But he's rambling on and on and on. And I'm like, Pete, shut up. Maybe it was before Farnsworth went off, because I'm going, Pete, shut up.
I don't know what part you're talking about, but if it was right before the Farnsworth, it could be that he was just getting in his own head with all his rambling.
And that's the ticket.
And not paying attention to, like, the Farnsworth went off and he decides to go in, which didn't make any sense to me. So maybe that was it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, can you shut up? Like, really? I just want to go to TV smack and go, Pete, get it together. Go ahead. Listen. And I think it was. And then I'm going, just do what you got to do.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dud Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you're also a fan of Eureka, and if you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And we get little clues about Jane's identity along the way. She tells Micah that she keeps track of Pete and Micah's exploits. And then we find out her husband was a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do remember as soon as I saw her that she was Pete's mother. I don't remember Pete finding out this way at all.
Right. I remember this episode to a certain point. Not that it was Pete's mother.
I knew all along she was coming and she was Pete's mother. But I don't remember this episode, and I don't remember this is how he found out. I don't know, for some reason I had it in my head she was in the warehouse, but maybe there is an episode where she's in the warehouse after he already knows. I don't know. Now, I don't know if I would have gotten all these clues if I didn't know, you know?
Right, no, because I didn't. I forgot. I actually did forget. Once I seen the episode, I was starting to remember, because I was going, one, Tower Inferno, because that's what thing, you know, the building's cracking up. So, and then after, I'm like, okay. Then I'm going, yeah, I remember her, but I forgot about her being Pete's mom.
Yeah, that's the part I knew was coming. I knew he didn't know, and I knew she was a regent. I think I said earlier, way early, when we first saw the regents in that restaurant, that I think I said I remember other regents. And I specifically was thinking of her, because I remembered that. But I don't know if I would have gotten all these clues. Probably not. I probably wouldn't have gotten all these clues if I didn't already know that she was his mother.
Yeah.
Mr. Jackson is the head of Regent Security. This is Philip Petrov from Moscow, and this is...
Jay. This is a typical snag bag and tag. I'd hate to see what it's like when things are all foobar.
Well, I've been doing this long enough to always expect the unexpected.
Oh, I stay well apprised of you and your partner's exploits.
There must be something we can use to lower ourselves down. What would they do if there was a fire?
Fire. Micah, get those elevator doors open. There's two of these on every floor. We can go four floors at a time, all the way down to the basement exit.
I'm impressed.
A little trick my husband taught me.
What was he, a diehard?
And then that GPS that Claudia was using. The first time I watched it, I was like, I don't understand what she's doing. I thought she was making... I thought she turned herself into a GPS to get them to the airport faster. And I was like, what is this? And then I realized the second time I watched it. This is what happens when I take notes while I'm watching. I miss stuff. The second time I realized she was being the GPS in the other guy's car.
Yeah.
To lead him in the wrong place so they could catch him.
I thought that was good, though, because I said people do it all the time, even when they have phones. You know, they don't want to answer the call, and they be in the voice message. Because I can't say that I've done it before.
So this Philip guy apparently was important because he was the guardian or something. When Philip died, the guardianship transferred to Jane with the Ramadi Shackle, which is a powerful artifact that is designed as a safeguard in case of an attack on Warehouse 13. And it says the shackle was created by Genghis Khan to make sure the Mongols kept control of the Warehouse 7. Apparently, Khan went to great and terrible lengths to forge the shackle. It cannot be destroyed by any conventional means. And the regents have developed the tradition in secret of passing the shackle from regent to regent so the warehouse could be kept safe. Because if you remember, Artie didn't even know what it was.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mrs. Frederick says at the end it's their last defense to keep the warehouse safe. But they didn't really tell us what it does to keep it safe. So I don't know what she's the guardian of. I guess the warehouse.
I'm thinking, even with that, if somebody was to have it, all the secrets, all everything would be just loose out into the world.
Right. Mrs. Fredericks is the caretaker. So I don't know what the difference between the caretaker and the guardian is.
Artie might not have the power we think he has or the control or whatever that we think he does. Why she holds the key to, I'm just going, I don't know now.
He doesn't. I mean, we know that Mrs. Fredericks is above him and the regents are above him and that other guy, Adwin.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He seems to be in charge of the regents. So I wonder if Jane is now where she fits in that, I guess, is what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. She's the guardian, so I don't know where the guardian fits in that line.
I don't know. A guardian is somebody that watches over. Okay, Mrs. Fredericks, the caretaker. And Artie's the...
I guess he's the agent in charge.
Let's put it in a store sense. So, more or less, Jane is like the CEO. Mrs. Frederick is like the president. And Artie's kind of like the vice president. And it goes down the chain of command. That's the only other way I could put it. Because it's kind of the step of command. And like you said, Artie didn't know.
Right.
So, now I'm thinking, Artie don't know everything.
Definitely. But he did, I think, know when he saw that business card.
Artie. Yeah. Look at this.
That's the Eye of Horus. That's... These guys are...
What? What's wrong?
40th floor, suite 4013.
Who is Diana Case now?
Claudia, Pete, check out that security camera footage. I want to know exactly what Stokowski was doing here. And Micah, you're with me.
Well, he definitely knew that. I keep forgetting his name. Adwin Kosan. He knew he was up there because of the business card.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had a feeling that Jane was up there too, because I think that's why he sent Pete and Claudia off together. I think Artie's known all this time that Jane was a regent.
Oh, okay.
That's what it looked like to me. When he saw, Diana K. Snow on the business card, he said, that's an anagram. And so he knew it was an anagram for Adwin Kosan. But I think because the guards had those marks and he realized that the guards were regent guards or warehouse guards, I think he had a feeling Jane was up there.
Okay.
And so I think that's why he sent Pete away with Claudia. Because normally Artie would go with Claudia and Micah would go with Pete.
Right.
And I think, well, definitely that's why when they were introducing them in that room, Jane just said Jane before Adwin could say the last name because Micah didn't know who she was. I'm pretty positive that Artie knew she was a regent all this time.
Yeah.
So I think Pete is going to have some issues with his mother being a regent because, first of all, he never knew.
Mm-hmm.
And if Artie knew all this time, he's going to be not so happy about Artie never telling him.
Right.
And secondly, because remember they said every agent's allowed to tell one person. He's not been told. She didn't tell him.
Probably told her husband.
Well, I think the way I see it, I'm not sure. It sounded to me like she got involved with the warehouse after her husband died. That's what I'm thinking. I could be totally wrong. But if she told her husband's dead. So does that get you another person?
I wouldn't think so. You're allowed to tell one person, even if the person dies.
Yeah.
Now, it never said when they got married or how old they were when they got married. So that one we don't know. We don't know. She could have been an agent before she met him. So she could have been an agent before and raised a family and took a hiatus. And then even in between, because I want to say there's a show where it was a movie. Jane Fonda, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, where they were spies and they didn't each know. They were supposed to either kill each other or something like that. They were each spies but didn't know each other were spies.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, it was something like that. But even sometimes living with somebody, you don't know what that other person is doing. Because you figure even at one point, him and his sister are in school. Yeah, you can get a job. You can do your job. When the kids are in school all day, how many years you got? Five? Okay, yeah. I can't work for you for 5 years until the kids get in kindergarten or first grade. Bye-bye. Now you're back to being full-time. And you're home in time for the kids to get in school. Or he is.
That's true. Yeah.
See, now I was going to do an age thing, but then that would be wrong.
What?
Okay, I was going to do an age thing.
Oh.
Because Pete, Micah, they seem to be adults at a certain degree, a little bit older. But then I think of Claudia. And then it's like, how early do they recruit somebody to be an agent? Because Jink is what? Is he in his early 30s? Is he in his late 20s?
I don't know if they ever say.
So I'm thinking maybe she was older, but then I'm still going back with, you know, she could have been and took a break. And I don't know where I'm going with this, folks, but bear with me.
True.
But the thing is, though, Micah was also, what kind of line of work was she doing?
Micah?
Mm-hmm.
She was a Secret Service agent.
Okay. So would they just ask somebody who has no experience or training in anything just to be an agent?
Oh, I don't know.
Or a warehouse?
I don't know. Because Claudia doesn't have training in anything.
Yes, she does. She does have training. You got to remember that she does. She has training in computers. She has the skills that could be used.
Yeah, I get that. I thought you meant they had to be an agent or training.
No, I'm thinking some kind of special skills or training someone must have to be an agent.
Right. And I don't know. Was she a teacher? Did we hear that? Or am I thinking just, I don't remember. I don't know what she did before.
Well, hopefully we'll find out in future episodes.
I hope so.
Theories.
Yeah, I know. Because I have no idea. So, oh, I had another theory. It's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's gone. It had something to do with her, too. Nah, it's gone.
Hopefully it'll come back.
So anyway, Sally's gone, so we don't have to listen to that. I mean, I don't have anything against Southern accents, but that was like kind of an over-the-top.
It was annoying.
And her voice is so high-pitched, it drove me crazy. Yeah.
Because I said I love a Southern draw.
Yeah, so do I, but that was just, I don't know. I guess we should have known it was fake. It sounded fake, I guess.
Right, it sounded like she ought to be on Designing Women. I love Designing Women.
So do I. I love Anthony. He's so funny. And what's her name? Anthony and what's her name together?
The one that plays Charlene?
No. The old lady. Oh, God. They were hilarious. You know, from Bewitched. She was Esmeralda.
Oh.
Her and Anthony together were hilarious.
Yeah, that was later in the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Later in the episode, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it Bernice, was it?
Yes! That was it, Bernice.
Oh, wow. Long-term membership. All right.
Oh, my God. They were hilarious together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, so I guess we'll find out one of these days. Because you remember in the episode, Don't Hate the Player?
Yes.
At the end, Sally had sabotaged that painting. They look like little nanobites or something.
Oh, yes.
And when
right.
they put the painting in the warehouse, those things started flying out. And then we never heard anything else about it.
That's right. Yeah, forgot about that.
So that's something that's still in play, I have to imagine.
Well, hopefully soon we'll see that.
I know. All right. Do you have anything else that we didn't talk about?
Nope, I do not. I'm good.
I wish I could remember that theory. It was probably off the wall anyway, but all right. If I think of it, we'll talk about it next week.
All right.
All right. So we'll see you next week with episode 9.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Artie, did you bring the grappler?
Of course.
Well, that's not standard warehouse issue.
It was in 1890.
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13th warehouse, on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com, or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.